It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day. For those of you that didn't know, the new producer of the show is not Pebble, but is Alex Strofe, which to this point is the only producer I've had that didn't have a nickname. We'll get there. So things change. And I can't even think of, like, Strofe or Alex. Anyway, he wants to have sound and stuff or do stuff, which is fine. So we have, and even though I was just on and said Goody just lies, he has no interest in telling people the truth if it has some impact. And like on the draft, and I get it. Why would I tell, this is the part I wouldn't tell anybody anything that's true. Everything that I would say and I would tell all the people that work for me, scouts, and I think maybe Ted Thompson did this around Wolf, they didn't let you talk. I would say, if you tell the truth on anything, you're fired. It's that simple. You'd say whatever you want. Why would we want someone to have any idea what we're going to do? And, you know, there's an industry of it, of people, scouts talking to people in management, and I would want people to know there's no need. Other than if they figured out whatever we said wasn't going to happen. I guess I didn't look through that. No need to even talk to anybody who's a scout for Homer because they all lie. Yeah, that's right. So you just say we're going to draft or say whatever you want about it, but we're not going to participate. Why would I want people to know what we're doing when we're 32 teams and we're all going after the same players? I want them to be wrong about what they think. If they know I'm going to go for somebody and then they have they make a trade, you know, no one's going to know other than maybe they could now with AI. With AI, you could probably put it in. These players are available. Who's Homer going to take? I'm wondering if teams probably do that now. Do you think teams probably use AI to have an idea? I would, as to you got all the information from all the drafts of whoever the GM is of the team. And maybe we should explore that. I'll ask Jason Wilde. But my point was, so now we have some sound. What do we got from Goody? This is real simple. What's the best? What's the best you think we should hear?
Him on the offensive line is fascinating.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think I feel really good about it. I mean, obviously, we got a couple of guys coming off injury. You know, Zach's coming off an injury and Jacob's coming off an injury. But, you know, I really like our starting five. And then, you know, I thought, you know, Jacob did a really good job in that last game at center. So I feel really good about his ability. And we're going to get Glover back as well. You know, Dominic Jennings. And Kennard, we brought Kennard back. So I feel really good about, you know, our whole group.
He lied, of course.
And he called Donovan Jennings Dominic Jennings. Oh.
But here's the thing. Then you can, as a follow-up, say, excuse me, Goody, like, these are what the rankings of – you can pick anything you want. And if I was him, I'd go, that's fine. They can think whatever they want. You ask me what I think, that's what I think. Yes. That's what I do. I 100% support exactly what Goody does. I just think our job is to tell everybody else what's the value of it. And the value is – you can't make any judgment on what he's going to do based on what he said. Somebody else can make a list. Gabe mentioned, when we talked about, who was it, the defensive, the edge guy, Rashawn Gary. And there may be other instances to where, okay, now, why do you even bring that up? Well, you could bring that up to him. Yeah, you said this, and he's not going to, fine. Write whatever you want. Say I'm a liar. Say whatever you want. You ask me the question, I'm giving you the answer. Everybody's good. Now we'll see what he does. And generally, if you were going to make a comment about Goody, you would say he's incredibly overconfident in his own picks. But other compared to other GMs, he might not be that far off. You have to believe in the people you pick, but you have to. And then some of the problems is injury. Somebody just gets hurt. Well, you didn't know they were going to get hurt, but all right. I mean, how many things did he say there? I don't go through this to be rude, where you'd go wrong, 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 wrong. And I don't have to say that. I can have Bulaga say it. And he doesn't even like to do it. But even he has a standard where you go, you just can't get away with saying that. You know, Homer, how do you feel about your hair? Man, great head of hair I got. Of all the head of hairs that I see, baby, I got some sweet hair. Well, you know, Bulaga would go, Homer, you can only go so far before I got to say, you know, that's a bunch of garbage. But anyway, that's all right. So the offensive line. And then the issue is also, he's not going to tell you, like the nature of the injuries, how serious they are. And, you know, the question everybody wants to ask him is go back and explain to us the thought of Jenkins going to center. You know, where you did this, because you're making some decisions. Bulaga goes over this all the time, where you let this guy go, and wouldn't we all want to know that? And nobody's going to necessarily get mad. And as much as if I complain about Goody, it's not that he's horrible. You want to know what horrible is? Go back and see some of the drafts. The most horrible draft choice, probably, I think it's hard to be ever, unless maybe like you drafted a raccoon. So my first draft, Bart Starr's the head coach, and you can look it up. It's like in the 10th round. And a Wisconsin player, Tim Crumry, was available, who was an outstanding defensive lineman. He was from Wisconsin, from Mondovi, little school. Teammate was Jess Cole, just so I can throw some Old Testament knowledge that no one cares about. So he's available. And I think it was 10th, 11th round. I think they had 12 rounds like that. And Bart Starr was friends with Bob Knight. And Bob Knight told him to take a basketball player on his team, last name was Thomas. We'll forget the first one. I keep saying Jim, but that's not what it was. I think Mike, who had never played football. Now, Knight said to Bart Starr, you should take this guy. I think he could be a cornerback or something like that. And that was based on, I think, the premise that Quinn Buckner, who was a great basketball player, had actually played football in Indiana for, I think, a year or two and was a safety. So that may have given Bart Starr Bob Knight might know something about this guy. Well, Quinn Buckner played football in college. This guy never played it down. Instead of taking Jim Crumry, he took Mike Thomas, Freddie Thomas, Billy Thomas, whatever it was. And he not only didn't play for the Packers, he never played ever. Now, I don't know how you can find. I think that Tony Mandarich instead of Barry Sanders was a better mistake than taking a guy who had never played football at college instead of somebody that you knew he was good. Instead of he's great, but how good are you going to be in the 10th or 11th round? It would have been 1983,
82 or 83.
83,
you have it.
Yep. So, and people don't know, this is Old Testament as well. The draft was one day then, and back then it was like Tuesday morning. The first round was like 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, I don't know. And then it's 9 o'clock at night, and they're finally picking. Was it 10th or 11th round?
10th round.
10th round. Jim Thomas, Bill Thomas, Fred Thomas.
Jimmy Thomas.
Jimmy Thomas.
And Tim Crumry.
Two picks later.
Five picks
by
later.
By Cincinnati.
You got it. Yeah. Pick 276.
You know, Bart. Why don't you take somebody's cat because you really liked them there?
That was his final draft as the head coach.
Yes, it was. Because in that season, the last game, he would not call timeouts so that after the Bears scored, they would have a chance to go down, because he said that would have not shown a respect for his defensive coordinator. And if you look, that year, the Packers gave up like 800 points. One of the greatest offenses ever in Green Bay Packer history. But anyway, other than that, he was a pretty good coach. This is when you know, and then we'll break and then get Jason Wilde. I was a Packer fan from when I was young, because I thought you picked, when you're a kid, pick teams that win. Why would you want to root for a team that wasn't any good? Packers won all the time. And I was late in his time as head coach rooting for the Packers to lose. Because if they won, I thought then they're going to keep him longer. He's not very good. And the worse he does, then they can move on to something else.
Did that hurt his reputation?
No.
At that time?
No. At that time, sure. No, everybody said he was historically great player, a great human being, but not a very good coach. And I supposedly at some time, the person to ask about all this is Cliff Kristol, who's legendarily good, that he wanted to be the GM at one point in time, and they didn't do that, and he wanted to have somebody else as a coach. I don't know how true that was, but it always comes down to, then you were coach and GM, it always comes down to the players. You give me great players, I can find 20 guys to win a Super Bowl. I can't find the 20 guys who can put together a team to win the Super Bowl. It's hard. Ron Wolf taught us all that and admitted it. That's why he wanted as many picks as he could get. Because I'm going to screw up. I want to get as many as I can. And then he would add veterans and do whatever he could. When they added the salary cap, he said, I'm gone. Can't tell me who I can't pick up. I want this guy, veteran offensive lineman. Sorry, you got to check with the cap guy. No, I don't. I'm done. That's not how it works. So, anyway, Jason Wilde, next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time, three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. He is now on the Yuengling Guest Legend Hotline. Let's go, Draft. Good afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon, Homer. How are you today?
I am awesome. Thanks for asking. How are you?
The Ashwaubenon Jaguars trail the Pulaski Red Raiders 1-0 at the half, so I'd be better if that score was flipped. But otherwise, I'm good, thanks.
Is this game any more significant than one game? Because it seems a little...
It's a conference game. You know, you want to win your conference games.
All right.
It's a road game. You know, it's always good to win on the road.
How good are they to where it's really going to matter one way or the other?
The Jaguars are undefeated at this point.
Whoa! Okay, now we're talking.
You
should have led with that.
Challenge here.
The undefeated Jaguars. Then, the undefeated Jaguars are down 1-0 at half?
They are down 1-0.
And you have watched it, correct?
No, I just got here. I had a speaking engagement after Goody got done. So
really?
I am.
Did people get to ask you questions?
They did. I they allotted an hour, and I could have gone a whole another hour. Like, people love the Packers, man. They love to ask questions. The great thing about this job is that I never really have to, like, when somebody asks me to do a speaking engagement, I don't have to, like, I don't have to prepare remarks. Like, I just tell them who I am and what I do and then say, hey, this
go.
Will go as long as you guys want it to.
That's right.
Right, ask questions. So anyway.
If you have an event and you ask questions and there are none, that means they don't care. Because if people care,
and then you're done
they
early,
always
and then,
have
then you get here before halftime.
And that's never
care.
True. Of the questions asked, which either impressed you or you want to repeat and answer again?
Great question. I'll say this, the most interesting one was there a couple of folks that really took umbrage with the Green Bay Packers retaining their head coach. They really didn't like that. And they were pretty vocal critics of Matt LaFleur. So
really?
So they think he's
really bad, or what? Did they say anything in which you thought, they can make a good point, or come on?
No. I mean, I think their argument was essentially that, you know, they've kind of plateaued and they're not getting any better, and that Matt LaFleur's success largely came with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And I guess that's true
that
to a degree.
That is true to a degree,
They reached the NFC Championship game in 19 and 20 and then lost with the number one overall seed in 2021, missed the playoffs in 22. And then obviously won the playoff game in Dallas in 23, and now been one and done as the seventh seed the last 2 years. So, you know, I'm not sure that there's a colossal difference between who they have been pre-Love versus post-Love, because, you know, I mean, if we're being honest, like they turned the ball over four times in Philly in that playoff game, and obviously that's how you lose the game. Because Philadelphia wasn't that impressive, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. And then last year, I mean, again, they gave up 25 points in the fourth quarter. You do not deserve to win a game that you do that in. But, you know, I think, and I asked the question today of Goody just because I wanted to get confirmation of where Zach Tom is in his
Yeah, he didn't help you out much there.
Yeah, I mean, at least he confirmed that he had surgery because we didn't even know that. But, like, you know, we
he
all
kind of
about
acted like he's going to be ready right away, but I'm not sure that he did.
No, he'll be ready. Yeah, I mean, if it's a 6-month recovery, and let's say he had surgery, I don't think he had surgery right away. So let's just say he had it on February 1st. Well, 6 months would be August 1st. So, and you're not going to walk right out on the field for practice on August 2nd. So I think it's going to, you know, do I think he'll be ready for the opener? And that's kind of what
It's a
he
great
implied. Yeah,
question.
probably. But again, like until I asked that question today, we hadn't even confirmed that he'd had surgery. But I think we all focus on Kraft and Parsons, which is rightfully so. I mean, obviously, you know, those two guys were the best players on that team, in my opinion. But they lost Zach Tom for the last five games. They lost Cooper in that playoff game. I still, and this is what I said to the group, like, I don't think they lose to the Bears if Cooper doesn't get hurt in the third quarter. Like he had been just a guy all season, unlike the guy that you had fallen in love with.
Yeah, messed up.
And he was just a guy until that last game, and that last game was when he was finally playing
Yeah,
well.
no,
And
but I would say as much as I said, he was just a guy. It was all
last
about,
season he was.
yes, and for the whole season, even if he didn't have as many plays, it was like you notice him. You never noticed him. Now, you
Yeah,
mentioned the last game.
except in the Bears game, right? In
Right.
the playoff game, he was all over the field. He was great.
I recall.
So, who's that in the
Plus, you
background? Is
know,
that the
came nothing but
play by? Is that the
that was the PA announcer. Yeah,
yeah.
the Red Raiders have scored again. So the previously undefeated Jaguars now trail 2-0.
Now you know
3 minutes
soccer
into
though.
the half.
Down two, people get really scared of a team when they're up two, because that seems to be like you should never lose because you're up two, and then so often people do. We'll see if that theory.
It's like hockey. The worst lead in hockey is a
Yep,
two-goal lead, they
exactly.
say.
I don't follow it enough to
I'm
know
not
for
sure that
sure, but
applies to soccer.
what?
I don't know if that applies to
They
soccer.
brought
They
it. They
just
used to bring it up in soccer the few times I went to watch my daughter play. Yep.
no, there
Would
you go.
rather be
Well,
a rather be ahead one than two. And I said, that's
it'd
the
be really
stupidest
good to
thing
be
I've
ahead
ever heard.
three.
But yeah, I don't.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with it. I understand the idea of momentum,
So what? Let's get
but
back to Cooper. What do you?
yeah.
Th How can anybody know what he's going to do this year? And or the impact of the new defensive coordinator, good or bad, whenever we actually hear from him.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I really don't.
I think he's a roommate
like,
of Aaron Rodgers' wife. So he's required to have no one know who
oh,
he is.
okay. So, yeah, I
By the way,
got
I just
it.
want to
Yeah,
let you
that's
know,
pretty
I am
good.
now obsessed with meeting or seeing his wife.
Brittany.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and I have
Brittany.
no interest in showing pictures for anyone else. I simply want to be aware. Like if I meet her, do you have the marriage license or anything? And I have no interest in telling anyone, taking a picture, but I would want to tell people I actually did meet her. She exists because right now I'm not sure. All right, back to the draft.
I just wanted him to text me back about if he wanted me to send him his Wisconsin sports awards that he had left in my office.
Yeah,
but
because if not,
what?
I'll auction them off.
Oh, okay. Good to
Tell him,
know. I'll keep
yeah.
that in mind. So I think Cooper, there's a couple of guys that I view as absolutely critical to this
Yeah.
team being the team that they think they're capable of. Now, again, I didn't agree with Goody today when Goody said he likes his depth. Now, he gets to like his depth. I like our team. I like our depth. I don't see it the same way,
Can I
and
ask
we'll
you
see
a
who's right.
question about Goody?
Of course.
I tell people
Yeah.
you can't listen to anything he says because he just lies. He supports and whatever. And so you have to have
Yeah.
Jason to inform us on what Goody does. in the history of what he does. I mean, you still ask the questions, but you give no importance at all to what he says. You give importance to what Jason tells you about his thoughts on Goody, and most of Jason is going to be based on what Goody has done, and you follow it closely.
Yeah.
How do you like that club?
That's true. I mean, look, no, it's a good club because if you think about it, like, and I'm not expecting him to get up there and go, yeah, I got to be honest, guys, we just don't have enough depth. Like, our team is just, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Like, if we have injuries, we're cooked. Like, I don't expect him to say that. But to say that you like your depth, like, you know, I would personally say, you know, you always feel like you can add more good pieces. Right.
Right.
That's how I would say it. Like, I feel like I can, I feel like that's a little more honest. But maybe not. Maybe he really does. I don't think so, but maybe he really does think that he's got that many, you know, kind of good players waiting in the wings. I'm not super enamored with the current status of their starting five offensive linemen, much less their backups there. Like, he called Donovan Jennings Dominic Jennings. Like, I don't know if that's a slip of the tongue or he didn't really know the guy's name. Like, that's where they're at with their backups on the offensive line. I'm sure he does. But it was just illustrative of, you know, I don't want to call Donovan Jennings a nobody because that's mean. But he's never played. So how do you know if you have good depth or not? If he's one of the guys that would be the next man up.
No, yeah, if you're counting as depth someone who's never played, then come on. You can't do that.
Right.
I was going to say, right. I'm on the draft. I really can see the Packers trading down when pick 52 comes.
So that was something I was trying to get to.
By the way, Greg Jennings was pick 52 if you don't think you can get a great player. Yeah. Tim Harris was pick 84, and you'd have to be old to know him. But if those are good numbers for the Packers, then take somebody because it's amazing that those two players were at exactly those two spots. Go ahead.
Right. And obviously just because Greg Jennings is a really good player doesn't mean that that whoever they pick at 52. But I agree with you.
You get somebody that good.
I find it very hard to believe that they're not going to trade down a couple times to add more.
And you can get
pieces.
Something good in the trade down if you're giving up 52.
Right. And the question then becomes, because I know there's been some discussion about the fact that, like, there aren't a lot of teams looking to trade up. There's a lot of them looking to trade down, actually. So if they're looking to trade down, that obviously creates if there's lots of teams looking to trade down, you need some teams that feel the need to trade up, right? But if I'm the Packers, I do want to have those opportunities because I am a believer in the idea that you are you want as many swings as possible, right? And Goody, if you look at his track record, so he's had 8 drafts, and in 4 of them, they've had double-digit picks. Last year, he went in. I was going back and reading my story from last year. Last year, he wanted more picks. He ended up not managing to get it. He ended up making only 8 picks. And I would argue that 2 more swings at the plate might have gotten you a guy that could be helping with the depth that you think you have that I don't think you have right now, right? So, you know, they're going to have 11 or 12 picks next year as of right now with the ones they acquired plus the compensatory picks. So next year's great. That's great that they're going to have 11, 12 picks. But I'm sorry, I look at their depth. I look at where they're at in terms of the free agency window that now you're in kind of bargain shopping mode. I just don't – I would think you want to trade back so you can get some more picks to choose from. I really do. And as of right now, they just – you know, I don't know how many trade partners there are that they're getting calls from, but I would think at 52, depending upon what kind of players kind of fall unexpectedly, that their phone would ring. And if you, let's say you move back 8 spots to 60 and you get like a 4th round pick for that, I feel like that's kind of a no-brainer. Unless, of course, Goody looks at his board and he's like, well, if I go back 8 picks, and the guys that I like the best are drafted in the 7 picks in the meantime.
Yeah.
That doesn't do me any good.
Yeah, but I think you know the percentages.
I'm going to have to draft a guy I don't even like.
Yeah, and also if you pick 52, you have somebody that you had at 36. I mean,
that's right. And if that look, if that happens, like if there's a guy that you had with a first round grade and he's still sitting there at 52, you definitely don't trade the pick. No way. Like then you've got a chance to get an incredible value, right? And you know, there's been some instances of that in the past, and sometimes there's a reason why that guy is still on the board, right? He dropped because you misevaluated him and had him higher than you should have. And so, yeah, he was there in the fifth round, and you had a third-round grade on him, but then you drafted him, and he played. And
I have that person, Kyle Lewis, linebacker, safety out of Pittsburgh.
Okay, and that's based on your
excellent question.
Draft.
Thank you. That's a good question. Based on, I am obsessed with the belief that the Senior Bowl practice and the Senior Bowl is the best way to find players the Packers are going to take. I have never done this in-depth study necessary. It just seems like it's always the case. And now that I am part of a show on Friday, I went through and he was mentioned as great practice by two different people. And so given that, and he's a safety, but he can play linebacker. He could play nickel at the next level. So you could, there are a number of ways you could use him. And to me, he fits right at that number. But, you know, I always say, how much would I bet?
Out of $100.
Three. Maybe go as high as five, but no more. All right, back to because
so
we got to go in
a
second here. But is there any credibility? Because I'm doing major research on all the people who talked about standouts in the Senior Bowl at practice. Am I wasting my time?
They do love the Senior Bowl.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
They do. They do.
And they have for a long time. Okay.
Yeah, that goes back to Ted. Now, again, you know, and I don't know how much time we've spent talking about this. I don't feel like we've talked about it a lot. But, like, I just think it's so – you know, Goody had a good explanation today. He was talking about how the guys that are at the top of the draft that are coming out after three seasons that are 20 years old or whatever
– Yeah.
Those guys are good. That's the same. That hasn't changed. The place where it's become different is when, you know, you're looking at guys that are in their fifth or sixth or in some cases seventh year in college football.
Yeah.
And
they're
then you're trying to figure out
25.
Right. Are these guys, is the juice even worth the squeeze?
What does he say?
Of drafting a guy. And I think that's where he's trying to, I think that's where he and everyone else
trying to figure
trying
it
to
out.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's worth, you know, pursuing and what's not, because there's just so many players that, you know, they and look, the other part of this,
I have an answer
have
for you, by the way.
Into, what is it?
They know the answer, and the answer is they've seen these
probably
players, and there's a certain age where you can't really give them near as much credit as you should because they're old. And all the players that you've brought in, you know, like Bulagan, how much better they were 3 years later than when they first started. And that's what you're dealing with. So I would be very skeptical, and I think they probably are. And you know, it makes sense, right? They know the difference in their players for, what are you saying, 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the other feeling is if you're a good enough player to be in the NFL – no matter how much you're getting in NIL money, you probably don't stay for 5 or 6 years. Now, in fairness, I think one guy that is that type of player is Evan Williams. I think he spent 4 years at Fresno State and then one at Oregon. Maybe it was only three at Fresno State, but he was an older player. And there's a hell of a lot to like about him. He's one of the best players they have on defense.
Yep.
He's a really good football player.
Yep.
So, you know, I think... You know, the old line from one of my favorite shows, Ted Lasso, is every person is a different person.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to remember.
Yeah, that's true. But you got a pretty good way to bat in terms of most of them. There are exceptions. For example, Ty Simpson, the quarterback of Alabama. If I'm a GM in the NFL, I have no interest in the kid. If he's turning down the amount of money he says he is in college, I don't want that kid. Kid can't be smart. $7.5 million, they said, at Miami. I don't want you. I don't want a player who would come go to the pros with that money on the line for 1 year.
Mm.
What do you think of that theory?
Okay.
I don't know if it's true, though. You don't know if that's the amount of money.
Yeah, that's the great thing about NIL is you can – yeah, I got a – that's funny because, you know, Sydney's a freshman in high school, she got $2 million offered to her in NIL money already.
Yeah.
And there's no fact checking on it. You can say whatever you want.
That's true. There is fact checking, but we're not available. I'm not able to get that fact checking.
Exactly. The information isn't readily available like an NFL contract is. Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, thanks, Jason. We'll see.
Right,
is it still 2-0?
It is 2-0. Yes.
And we're gonna find out that soccer.
It's an uphill climb.
That is. Thanks, Jason.
They're being outpossessed right now, so I don't like their chances.
Were they overconfident? Do you think this was a mental thing, or did they underestimate the quality of the opponent?
I don't think it's either. I think Pulaski is a pretty good soccer player.
And were they undefeated simply because they played easy teams to this point? That would be my follow-up question.
I think they had played. I don't think they played a team of Pulaski's quality.
You're amazed I care that much. It doesn't matter what the event. I got all those questions. I do not. You don't go overboard because my daughter claimed I was always busier during soccer season than basketball season, and that's true because it's too damn cold. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Begin.
Jason Wilde, All Packers All the Time. Tim Van Voren in a little bit. Want to tell you about Milwaukee Weight Loss. Started at 229. Now I'm at 205. And how? Because I eat less and I'm okay with eating less. I had been aware of people who said, you can do it. And it's almost easy. To which I thought, there's no way. No weight loss program can be that easy because they're just hard. You know that over a course of a lifetime. Well, I would say I could say this. Why? Because I eat less and I'm okay with eating less. The key to me has been a salad dressing and a barbecue sauce. We don't need to get in detail. Your way might be different. They don't have crazy stuff, no intense workouts. There's no gimmick. It's what you can eat and what you're comfortable eating, and you eat less and you'll lose weight. Can you do that? I believe I will weigh between 200 and 205 the rest of my life because of Milwaukee Weight Loss. And I'm though Gabe Neitzel knows what he has to say at the funeral, I'm not anticipating dying anytime soon. And for a limited time, get $200 off of the spring special. $200 off of the spring special. Call me. Talk to them. The way you do it might be different than the way I do it, but it works. And I can tell you this in, and I hope I'm still doing this a year after I started because I strongly believe I'll still be then around 205 from starting at 229. 262-235-3980. 262-235-3980. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Tim Van Voren coming up soon. Founded by inventors, fueled by community, and focused on business for 130 years. That's older than I am. Horicon Bank has helped businesses in Wisconsin grow, doing banking differently since 1896. Today, the same local approach is now part of the Milwaukee business community. First time Milwaukee business community, bringing decision-making closer to the people who matter most, you. Financing requests approved in days, not weeks. Bankers who understand your business. Products designed to support real cash flow needs. Because when it comes to commercial lending now in the Milwaukee business community, but Horicon Bank gets the job done together, doing good for 130 years. Also, based on my Senior Bowl information, the Green Bay Packers with the 7th round will take quarterback Cole Payton from North Dakota State. And in the first pick, if they do take one with pick number 52, they will take T.J. Parker, Clemson, Edge. And both of those, I will bet, maximum $2. Tim Van Voren next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVV.
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 It's Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Voren on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports, three-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. Good evening, TVV.
Homer, good afternoon, good evening.
I always like to ask you if you join my club. I believe the selection by Bart Starr of Jimmy Thomas, the basketball player, instead of Tim Crumry. Jimmy Thomas had never played football in college to be a defensive back, was worse than Tony Mandrich instead of Barry Sanders.
Not in
terms of the nature of the abilities, but just in terms of taking a player who had never played football is always worse than taking the wrong between two who did. But you don't join my club, do you?
I mean, I don't join. At that point in the draft, Homer, you know, they're
good
all
point.
Flyers.
Yes, you're right. But if it had been a first-round selection, you might join my club. But this was in the 10th round. People don't even know there was a 10th round. Sorry, I went Old Testament. All right, draft's coming up.
Mandarich is still held up, Homer, as one of the, you know, one of the all-time high first-round misses. Come on.
Well, yeah, because the four players of the top five, the other four, weren't they all first ballot Hall of Famers?
Yeah, it's a crazy draft.
Yeah, that is. I don't believe there's probably ever been another year where four of the first five, top five, were first ballot Hall of Famers, and I think they all were. All right, let's get to this draft. How many drafts have you done? Lots.
The first one I did covering the Packers was Vinnie Clark, 1991.
Yeah.
Vinnie Clark, Homer.
I remember it. Arkansas, maybe, or where was he from?
Ohio State. Ohio State.
Running back.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
DB, I think.
Yes,
DB.
And he didn't do much.
He was not impactful. No, he was not impactful.
All right, so what do you... I just think the draft, you got the same GM. He's going to kind of do like these others. He's been pretty good, not great. They don't have a first-round pick. But TVV, tell us how all of us should look at this draft appropriately.
You know, you try to get a starter or two. You try to add depth. I think they would gladly take Micah Parsons for two first-round draft choices. I don't think they would redo that trade at all. They're feeling good about it. You know, I think, as you said, they've had pretty good success in middle rounds and late rounds. So, you know, they should feel reasonably successful that they can get somebody that could be a contributor.
I think it's wouldn't bet anymore on a 1 to 100. I'd probably bet 10 that they will trade down with their first pick because they'll find somebody pretty close. And you can get a decent extra pick just by dropping a few spots. Want to join that club?
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think they have a targeted need at 52. So I think they say, all right, great. We'll get somebody at, you know, as you said, 56 and pick up an extra pick for that. And they're going to go heavy on picks this year. They're going to go heavy on picks next year. They have 8 picks going into the draft this year. They're anticipating 11 picks next year with the compensatory picks. So this should be where you beef up the back end of your roster. These 2 years, you need, just as you needed going into this situation, you need your top flight players to be better than they have been, and then you need this group of extra added talent to push your guys that are on the back end of the roster and have those guys bring the floor up. The floor has been what's killed the Packers as much as anything else the last couple of years.
You said get a starter or two, but what is fair to expect from any of these players next year versus what they might do down the road?
As rookies you're talking about?
Yeah. My point is, if people say you need a lot of help from the draft class next year, your team's not that good.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
And you know, Brian, I think Brian Gutekunst was going there with his comments today. I was in Green Bay today with Jason Wilde. And, you know, he was saying, look, this guy's got good tape. He's 25 years old. Okay. At any position. What's he worth to you? More impact now, immediate. But what's he worth to you then if you're going to sign him to a second contract? Or if he's at his ceiling versus some 21-year-old who still can go up as a player and then get you a second contract?
They're going younger. 20. They're all going to go younger.
Be right.
Come on.
You have to be right. You have to be right, Homer. That's what it comes down to. If you're trying to plug and play, you can draft these 25, 26-year-old guys, and they can come in and give you an impact. But if you think that you know, you're okay with the main players on your roster, then you're trying to supplement and replenish going forward. That's always been the Packers' way.
I don't think – I mean, I can solve this for everybody, even for you. If you're going to take an old man, you wait until the sixth or seventh round because your expectations of what that person's going to do. But you got to factor the – I mean, I think anybody – you followed these college players. You followed the pros, how much different they all are the third year versus the first year.
Yeah. I mean, in college basketball, I think that's actually improved the quality in a weird way.
Yes.
Guys have moved around a little bit. And in college football, I think it's decreased other than, you know, a couple of top programs. It's so hard to project on college football, and some of these guys just haven't fit, you know, and Brian Gutekunst was saying today, the idea that you're going to be worried about what they're going to do when they get money. This has exposed some of those players, who they are, what their character is when they get resources. He did say, let's be fair, any of us at age 21, you hand us $1 million, who knows how you're really going to act. But by the same token, he said some of it has been exposed more so than the concern about what's going to happen after they get to the NFL.
All right. Do we have the – people don't know this, but of course you know this. We have the Tim Van Voren Scouting Bureau. How concerned are you at the starting left tackle this year? We all know who it's going to be. And the need or thought that Goody will have to get somebody who could challenge him or take it any way you want.
Yeah, I'm not set on Jordan Morgan. You know, Jordan Morgan is a first-round draft choice in roughly the range the Packers usually have first-round draft choices. So, you know, people are saying this year, oh, you don't have that first-round pick. Well, Jordan Morgan's the equivalent of what you get if you're a Packer. So that's what you have with 2 years of seasoning as your left tackle. I'm not turning the job over to him without some insurance. I'll say that. If you have Jordan Love behind that offensive line, maybe Jordan Love does the job. Does the job. But I'm not turning it over without a more competent backup than I see right now.
I think the Packers need a running back with some sizzle, or whatever the phrase you would use. I don't know what round you have to get it with a running back, but do you agree? Do you want to join that club?
I do join that club, Homer. I think they've lacked that for a few years. I liked Emmanuel Wilson. I think, you know, he's a loss to not come back. But he's not the perfect type of running back that offense could use, as far as I see it. They need a Marshawn Lloyd type, but I certainly don't think you can commit to Marshawn Lloyd at this point either. He's just been way too injured. And even if he's healthy, does he still have what he had that made him special in the first place, or third-round draft worthy in the first place? So I do think they've acknowledged they need that type of running back. They thought they had him in Lloyd. He's lost 2 years to injury. I think you start over looking for that next guy.
Because I'm part of the draft show that we're having on Friday, I'm now focusing on my belief for years, and that is find out who was really good in the Senior Bowl practices, because I swear the Packers always take people from that. And so am I wasting my time, or given all that you have, do you think there is some credibility to the belief that there has been a connection of many Packer choices from those who were impressive in Senior Bowl practices?
You can connect some dots when it comes to Packer drafting. The Senior Bowl practices would be one. The top 30 visits would be another, even for guys that aren't, you know, top 30.
Where's that list of top 30 visits? Do you get it?
Well, no. I mean, it's a reported list. It's going to have to be cobbled together. But, you know, as the draft starts, we'll see that list. We'll get, you know, 20 of the guys who are in Green Bay and start connecting some of those dots.
Do you have anybody you want to think the Packers might take?
No, 52 or sliding even lower. No, I that's too much of a crapshoot for me.
Excuse me, sir. With pick number 52, they took Greg Jennings. You can get somebody. Had you heard of Greg Jennings when they took him? I'll bet you had.
I did not know much about Greg Jennings, but I'm in complete agreement you can get a good player. My point is I can't speculate or, you know, try to tell you who that's going to be.
Don Mikowski, pick 255. They have it this year.
Yeah.
Jeff Janis, pick 260, 236. And how about the great Randy Wright, pick number 153? Who would have thought?
One of those guys was a Pro Bowler, the Magic Man.
That he was. Thanks, TVV.
All right, Homer, have a good draft week.
Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports. Homer here. Of course, I am Homer. I don't know why I have to say that. Window Nation, they got a great deal. You can save up to 50% off, plus you could get zero interest for 5 years. The more you buy, the more you save sale. But you need to know, and as a proud partner of the Brewers, you could score a pair of Brewers tickets. What you need to know is Window Nation is not new. They're successful in all these other cities. Family business, they've grown and grown and grown, and now they want to come to Milwaukee in the area to help because they've done it in all the other cities. You will learn more about them and who and what they are other than, which is a pretty good start, you could save up to 50% off, plus you could get zero interest for 5 years. WindowNation.com. Book a consultation. WindowNation.com. Book a consultation and tell them you want to know what I said about the incredible history of this company, the success. It's a family business. People say you're doing good. You just keep going to new cities and help the people there. What do we have next? ESPN National in progress? Oh, on the tee. I can't say that in progress. It will be on the tee from the beginning. Next. Marshall, do it right.